Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grillin' mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome, Yarlis, the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Going to be the last weekend in September. That means by the next time you hear us, we will have been in the deer woods and done a little deer hunting with our bows and our crossbows and all of that. Part of this time of year that is absolutely awesome. Love to be out in the woods and take a look at things. And we might talk a little bit about if you're successful enough on the pond, too. Something we might want to do is shoot a duck or cook a duck or...
Leave it there.
Right, exactly. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop, and welcome to the Grillin' Guys, the smokiest radio show on the airwaves. If you're hearing this, you're listening to a great station, and we appreciate all of our affiliates across Michigan and New Jersey. And we are going to talk about ducks, and I'll tell you how these shows get dreamt up. Jop and I have a great experience doing something, and we go, man, we got to talk about that.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, we just did. Let's do it.
Right. So it really isn't a dream. It's a reality show.
Yeah. So, dude, last weekend I took my two boys and my future son-in-law. Maggie's engaged to a gentleman named Christian Schofield, and we took him up to Whipple Lake for his break-in period.
Okay.
And he did very well.
So there's some things going on right there, because this is a guy, another man that's coming into your family, and you, this is a level of acceptance, guys, when you get invited to deer camp and to go set up deer camp. And that means, you know what, you're a good one, and we want you to be part of this.
Or it's a trial.
Right. Well, honestly, it's probably both.
It's always a trial. Yeah. Well, right. He passed with flying colors.
Great.
He brought his big one-ton Ford pickup truck, yeah, which is always good. But more importantly, he's really experienced in hunting. And, you know, to my amazement, I guess we've never talked a whole lot about it.
Wow, that really surprises me, because that's usually one of your first topics.
Well, but, you know, when he's over, it's usually a group conversation, and I don't want to, you know, monopolize the conversation with something that half the people there, like the women in particular, don't really care to join in on.
So since when?
You kind of save that for...
Since when? I've been to those get-togethers.
I'm learning.
No, I get it. So later in the show, he's going to be joining us, and we're going to talk a little bit more about his duck expertise as well, because... as I understand it, I got a little piece of that, and we're gonna get him on the line and share.
Yeah,
it
and so that's like I said, how these shows come about is you have to dream up a good topic and something interesting. And I found out that I am really interested in duck hunting, and I always kind of said, I don't know,
right? Not,
it hasn't been my big deal. I have tons of friends. You used to duck hunt. I have tons of friends that still do. Bruce at Garrett's a big duck hunter, goose hunter. And I'm kind of warming up to the whole fowl thing. And we moved our trailer. I took the three guys up there because, number one, it's fun. And number two, I had to move the old Trotwood to a new location that's better.
How did that go, by the way? That thing had been there for a long time.
Well, yeah. Ted's dad moved it there like 10 years ago for us, and then he passed away. And it was a wonderful spot. It's right by the lake. But what I always hated about it was smack dab in the middle of about 57, 64 acres, something like that. And in my opinion, it was too much noise because we get a little rowdy at night. And you know exactly why. You're
sure,
in the
your
middle
camp.
of your best hunting place,
right,
and it screws up the patterns. So we screwed up the patterns again and moved it to where it'll be more...
like on the corner of the property
the corner,
or something?
Yeah. So... So it just opened everything up, and it's a 52 Trotwood. Dude, I think it still has the original tires on it.
Wow.
And I believe they're rubber with tubes, And here's a testimony or a testament to rubber. They're still not cracked and checked.
Yeah.
And 52, you do the math. They might have been replaced 20 or 30 years ago, but I'm pretty sure they've been on for at least 20 years. I took my generator, my compressor. We pumped the tires up a little bit. I hooked it up to my Van Andel Flickama Jeep.
Yep.
And that baby did the job. We towed that thing. It didn't even make it squat. And this is a heavy trailer because it's got concrete floors.
Yeah, I remember when you did that to keep the mice out, right? Yeah.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's Ducks on the Pond and the Grill. We're going to talk all about ducks and hopefully get you intrigued enough to maybe give it a try or at least throw one on the grill.
Right. We're going to cover that a little bit later in this segment. Now, when you were up there, you spent an overnight, right? And you had the boys with you, but it wasn't just all about moving the trailer.
No, we had an experience, I'll tell you. First of all, pulling down the little seasonal road to get to the gate, trees had fallen.
Okay.
One of them in particular, Christian could barely get his big massive truck underneath. He had to like take a couple of tries at it without taking a mirror off. But so on the way out, I had my trailer. And I had three hardy young men to
help. And a chainsaw.
And a chainsaw. Right. Always had the chainsaw. So we buzzed that big maple up, and I had a trailer load of 20-inch round, 20-inch long chunks of seasoned. This thing's been dead for years, and it's like perfect burning. So we got that done.
So you went up to freshen up camp.
Yep.
This was a big year because you moved it.
Yes.
But you had a lot of other things you were doing,
too.
Well,
we had to move stands now, too,
right,
because
exactly.
Now the trailer's close to my favorite stand.
Right.
So it just forced me to scout, got to show the guys how I scout, found out that Christian's a very good scout. We're like in total harmony in terms of how we look at a place to place a blind, because I'm really picky on where I put my stands, and I put a lot of time into windage and trails and patterns and all this, because you can't move a tree stand that easily, especially this one's a 22-footer.
Yeah.
So it was really nice to have help moving.
Well, yeah.
I've done it myself.
Yeah, you can probably drag it through the woods, but setting it back up on the next tree is the challenge.
Well, when you're standing it up, you feel like your spine's going to snap because you have your arms extended.
Leverage, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
And I'm sure that's happened. But I also did this week some beef ribs. You know, I got that cow a couple weeks back, and I got a bunch of beef ribs. I'd have to say, though, that the processor didn't listen to me, and they cut them all as short ribs. And
oh.
I specifically
you want some
wanted
big...
them long.
Right.
But they still turn out really good, really fat cow. And I smoked them on my Cajun. And,
So that's more of a charcoal grill than a smoker, so you must have kind of done that a little bit on
the
offset.
Yeah, I just did them on the side. It's real easy. It's a nice, long, elevated coal bed. You know, put them on one side, set them on the other. I didn't even add any wood to it with good charcoal. It just
right.
It came out perfect.
Lump charcoal, right?
Yep.
I'm assuming.
Yep. Yep.
Don't use a lot of briquettes. We're both lump guys.
Yep.
If you don't know the difference, it says it on the bag. One says lump, L-U-M-P. The other will be briquettes. And the lump charcoal is pure hardwood. It's not been processed
right.
with anything. And I think Bob and I both agree that it's a hotter cook. And it's a longer cook per amount of fuel, and then it's just clean. You don't get a lot of ash, and it's just a great fuel.
Briquettes are actually manufactured out of the silt that comes from when they crush charcoal, lump charcoal. A lot of it turns to powder.
Okay.
And then they scoop that up with a front-end loader, put it in a semi, and they ship it off to people like Kingsford, who totally change
processing.
The whole thing.
Yeah,
add clay and all kinds of junk to it that I don't care for.
Yeah. So coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit of duck hunting with Bob's soon-to-be son-in-law. This should be a little bit of fun because I'm just curious how this questioning is going to go, and I'm going to let Barbecue Bob run the show here and see if Christian has figured out the wheat from the chaff, we shall say, when you're talking to Bob. But you're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey, engineering better Michigan beer.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Hi, this is Sal Cipriano, CEO of Better Made Snack Foods. Ever wonder why our Better Made potato chips taste so good? They're made with homegrown potatoes from West Michigan farms. So when you're driving to the beach, a festival, or a ballpark, and you pass by those farms, think of Better Made potato chips. Better yet, stop by your favorite grocer or convenience store and pick up a bag for the trip. For nearly 90 years, Better Made Snack Foods are Better Made.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. You're just tuning in. This is going to be a little bit of a treat because this is something that we've never done on the Grilling Guys before, and that is Barbecue Bob is going to be talking to his future son-in-law about their excursions last weekend up in resetting their deer camp for the year. And I'm going to just sit back and take a spectator seat on this one and see how this goes, unless, of course, I hear an opportunity.
Yeah, welcome back. Thanks, Jop. And don't worry, Christian understands fully that what happens at deer camp stays at deer camp. So okay. There's no
well, then
danger.
Why did we even call it?
There's no
then
danger.
Why the hell did we even call him, right?
It's like Vegas. So on the grilling line right now is Christian Schofield, known to our family as Toto.
Yeah, Toto it is.
Our granddaughters.
No, you can't leave that hanging.
Our granddaughters named him Toto because they're two, and they they try and say all these names, and I don't really know how that came about. But so now
he's hung with that for the rest of his life.
He is,
now,
yeah, and he seems to be fine with it. He's a furry little dog.
Uncle Toto. That's awesome.
So, so I was just telling in the first segment how hanging out at Whipple and you doing your duck calls and everything, and we talked extensively about duck hunting, that I got pretty enthused and excited about duck hunting. And matter of fact, when you're done, we're going to hear from a man named T-Gid, and he's down in Louisiana, and he just came off quite a duck hunting trip that you're going to want to listen in on. And but right now, we just want to hear about a guy like me who's never really been into duck hunting and kind of thinks he wants to. How do you get started at it?
Yeah, it's the way I got started in was it was actually my uncle. I grew up in a deer hunting family, and I was an avid bow hunter. Any weekend that I could in the fall from opening day till the season closed, I was in a tree stand. And I knew my uncle would go out and duck hunt, and he used to deer hunt, and now he doesn't anymore, and that's all he strictly does. And I asked him the same thing. I said, hey, would you take me out, take me duck hunting? I'm curious, big sportsman, love to try the sport. And the first thing he told me, which is what I tell everybody now that I take duck hunting with myself, is if you do any other outdoorsman activity, be prepared to quit that. Because once you duck hunt, you don't go back. There isn't I still deer hunt, but more or less I'm going to pick duck hunting. And it all depends, too, especially being in Michigan, like you were talking about. The guy from Louisiana just went on a duck hunt. Down there is huge. That's more opportunity. You're going to go out and shoot your limit every day. That's where you know that there's different flyways. Everything comes down from up north during migration.
Yeah, like four different flyways.
And that's they all head towards, you know, Mexico, Louisiana. So right now is the big teal migration. The teal will move first. And down south, that's huge. Up here, they try the teal season. We really didn't have much luck. There's just so many different bodies of water that you can go to, and we just haven't seen a lot of teal. But down there, it's huge. But it's ever since I went out with my uncle one time, I shot a mallard hen was my first duck, and I was hooked. And then I went out to Colorado, kind of was out there for a year and met another buddy who kind of fine-tuned my skills. And duck hunting out there is completely different than being here in Michigan.
How's that?
Out there, there's such little bodies of water. It's all reservoirs and stuff. So really the ducks are always going to go to those certain spots. So, you know, if you get there at an early enough time, you're going to get some good waterfowl action.
So Michigan has like 11,000 lakes. So that must make it a little difficult to know where they're going to pattern.
Right. And that was what I really didn't think of until I came back to Michigan. I'm like, okay, you know, here's an amazing spot. Body water, cattails, I can sit right here. But one day you could have, you know, two different flocks of birds on it one day, and the next you're not going to see a single thing because there's another body of water a mile down the road that they decided that that's going to be where they're going to be at the next day. So it's harder in Michigan, but you just kind of play it off the weather. It's, you know, there's so many different factors that go into waterfowl hunting. That's why I fell in love with it.
So
your hunting was, you found, you know, where the trails were. You put cameras up, you'd hunt your stand. Whereas, you know, waterfowl is just different every day. You if it's, you know, everything plays a role into your hunt. Weather, type of calls, the wind. It's pretty awesome.
So, Christian, question for you. There's a lot of guys that have the good fortune of having some private water to hunt on, but there's also a whole host of guys that have to hunt in public areas. And when you're driving around looking for a great duck spot, other than the obvious is there's ducks on the water, so that'd be a good place to go. What are you looking for?
I look for, one of my biggest things is cover. You know, if there's a body of water and you see a bunch of, you know, geese, like you said, and that is kind of what you do, is if you see waterfowl on it, it means there's a reason they're there. It means that there's either food for them, there's cover, there's something they like on that lake. So that's you know, a big indicator of, yeah, it's a good lake. But if there isn't enough cover for me that I won't stick out like a sore thumb, then it's going to be pretty difficult to get your limit. But, and that's the difference between, you know, deer and waterfowl, is waterfowl are very related on eyesight. Any type of movement or discoloration that they don't like, they're not going to come in. So that's camouflage and, you know, the right camouflage, concealing yourself. That's your number one goal.
So we always think of hawks and falcons and eagles as having great eyesight, but you're saying duck are the same way.
Exactly, and that's, you know, that's what my uncle told me was, you know, they can see the whites of your eyes. You're not supposed to. You're actually, when you get birds to commit to your spread, you're more looking at the reflection off the water. You're seeing those birds move through the water, seeing how close they are. Because if you look at them the wrong way, they'll actually see your eyes, and that is, they'll take off right away.
So you're typically wearing sunglasses then?
You can. Just me, I have to wear prescription glasses, so I'll normally wear glasses in the early morning, just because with my sunglasses, most of your action is going to be right at sunlight. Every time I've shot my limit, it was right from shooting light, 30, 45 minutes after, and I'm done. So it's, and that all depends upon to, on your location. We hunted a pond last year that was on a private property. It was a little, trying to think, it was more like where his cattle would go just to get a drink of water. Super small. We'd seen some action there. We're like, okay, we'll go in the morning. And it was hands down the fastest limit I've ever, it was me and two other buddies, and we shot our limit in 30 minutes.
Wow.
They just came out of nowhere. They started flying. And you get mornings like that where you don't even need to be a skilled caller or, you know what to put in your spread, because stuff like that, it's just birds that want to come into that pond.
So, Christian, I can't let you off the line without a little bit of this deer hunting camp trip that you took last weekend with Bob. You know what? You get license. I'll stand between you and him. He's not gonna get mad about this. But you gotta have something, baby. Come on. You spent 36 hours with Bob Nurmico. Something crazy happened. I guarantee it. Come on.
Yeah. Well, we had everyone try some hot sauce that we thought wasn't.
Oh hot, yeah.
That changed everyone's minds pretty quick. That chili was hard to eat with all that hot sauce.
Yeah, okay. Right. Well, yeah, that's a little tame, but okay.
But we did move the outhouse, so we got to handle everything.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
crap was happening there in a big way, I'm sure.
Christian Schofield, appreciate your knowledge, and I want to get some information on how to smoke them and prepare them and some of your secrets sometime on that, too. So I'm sure I'll see you real soon.
Yeah, for sure. Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, tell us again the name of your business.
West Michigan Fab.
Okay. Free plug.
Good.
There you go.
Well, if it flies like a duck and it drops like a duck after you shoot, you're going to have to cook a duck. And we got a guy from Louisiana, one of our board of directors, T. Gidd, that's going to tell us how to do duck Cajun style. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from the Grillin' Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's SAFFIRE at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
We live it, we love it, Allen Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport, it's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game, we stand behind our name. We live it, we love it, Allen Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen.
This is Jop from the Grillin' Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at StandaleLumber.com.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grillin' Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grillin' Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend, the last weekend of September. We are on the eve of bow hunting season. Duck season is open in the northern parts of our state, and as the season progresses, that moves south, as do the ducks. And today we're talking a little bit about the duck on the pond. What you thinking, Bob?
Oh, yeah, baby, yeah.
Right, right.
It's a little rusty.
Yeah.
We are going to talk right now with my brother from Cajun country, T. Gidd.
What an intro, man. Yeah. I love you guys, man.
So you had quite a week, and I just thought you might want to share your story with the people in Radio Land about your latest duck experience.
Yeah, me and my older brother Greg, man, we you're the number one. You programmed it long enough. There's so much to talk about. I don't know. Long story short, yeah, we got an invite to go duck hunting with Phil and Jace and Uncle Cy at the Robertsons, the Duck Dynasty up there in Monroe, Louisiana.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
And,
how cool is that? Did you have to grow a beard to go there?
Well, we got our little gray and goatee, so we got our starter kits, I guess you'd call them.
Yeah.
But, man, let me tell you, we had gone up a few months before that, around June, and we went show Willie, the new Cajun Pro Series grill, and he fell in love with it. Well, Phil, I guess they got this this little jealousy thing, and he came up to Greg after we cooked for his whole family, and he's like, I want one of them grills. And Miss Kay said, the only way you're going to get a grill is if they come up here and cook for us like they did for Willie. And we did, and we ended up getting a duck hunt out of it. It was one of them surreal situations where you're sitting in a duck blind and you look down one end, and there's Phil, all picturesque, you know, with the sun hitting his face with his beard and his shotgun, and then you look this way, the other way, and there's Jace and Uncle Cy, and you just sit back and it's like, man, am I dreaming or am I really in a duck blind with these cats, you know? And it was incredible.
Yeah, it didn't matter. It probably didn't matter a bit if you shot a duck or not, but I bet you did.
Well, actually, you know, it's teal season up here, and he self-professed that they're not known for their teal hunts. It's either feast or famine, as Uncle Cy put it, and it was definitely famine. But the flip side to that, when it's slow, and if you're a duck hunter, you know this, you have nothing else to do but talk about the other trips that were great. And so we're sitting at a duck blind with the Robertsons, and they shared those stories that pretty much stay in the blind. What goes on in the blind stays in the blind. It's not something you'd hear on the street or in an interview. And so you talk about personal interaction and hearing these stories. Again, it's just, it was truly amazing. We feel so blessed to be able to do that and to cook for them. And you know what? The first night he cooked for us. He cooked these killer, beautiful hamburgers, Phil did, and it was awesome. In his double wide trailer up there in Monroe, Louisiana.
Isn't that hysterical?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys have made a fortune, and they made a fortune before they had their TV show, but he still lives in that simple little manufactured house. That's crazy.
Yeah, no, he truly does, and he's truly a very deeply Christian man, and I truly respect that, and everything that we talked about, he would relate to Scripture. He'd grab his Bible, he'd put his spectacles on, he'd say, well, let's see what it says about that. And it was truly an amazing event. And after the hunt, we cooked for them. He has this program called CRTV, he does a program called In the Woods with Phil.
Right.
And we had the camera crew out there, and they basically, he gave us free reign. He gave us a whole segment to shoot, and we grilled on our new Cajun Pro a beautiful alligator frog leg and fresh water bass sauce piquant, which is like a tomato gravy.
Right.
Cooked the rice on top of the grill, and we served them and put a big smile on their faces as they did ours, you know.
So they had all the meat ready for you?
No, we brought everything.
Oh.
You would think that we got all that. But no, we wanted to bring and supply everything for them. And we had this beautiful alligator meat that we actually smoked indirectly and got a good flavor on it. And the frog legs were beautiful, big old fresh frog legs. And, freshwater bass, you can't get at a store. We ended up bringing that from Toledo Bend where our camp's at. And it was beautiful. I'll send you a picture, Bob. I mean, just looking at it, you probably can get all mouth.
I think I did see a picture on your Facebook page.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then you did.
Yeah. So, you know, I thought this was a great story to tell our listeners because this whole show is about ducks on the pond and the grill. And so you did both there. And who gets a chance to duck hunt with the Duck Dynasty boys? I mean, goodness sakes, that had to be. I have so much admiration for them, and especially Phil because of his CRTV show, which CRTV has become huge now.
Yeah, and blowing up.
Yeah, it is. But we want to learn a little more about a good way to prepare a duck if you've never done one, and maybe you've got a grill or a smoker.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, we generally, unless it's a big duck, we pretty much breast them, and like a teal, a wood duck, a guide wall, you know, whatever's indigenous to your areas. And we clean them, you know, take the skin off of them where it's just the beautiful red meat of the breast, and we kind of marinate them overnight in like a highly vinegared type of marinade, like a Italian dressing or something like that.
Balsamic. Then,
mm-hmm. Yeah, balsamic, yeah, salt and pepper. And then you basically take it out the refrigerator and you prepare some slivers of jalapeno, some cream cheese, and some beautiful applewood smoked bacon. And you just kind of put a slither of the jalapeno, a little bit of cream cheese, and you kind of roll it up and wrap it in bacon and put a toothpick in it. And the rule of thumb is that when that bacon is edible, when it looks like it's cooked enough to where you can eat the bacon part, then take it off. And when you cut into it, that duck breast is almost like on a medium to medium rare cook, and it tastes like the best piece of meat you ever had. I mean, it's just incredible.
And that's a good point because people think they have to cook birds to 165, and that's factory-made chicken. That's not a wild bird.
Right.
Yeah, no. You can eat it medium rare. And I tell you, another thing is that, you know, with football season, this is a great appetizer.
Oh, I bet.
Type of menu item that you can serve to your guests. And then the big ducks, you know, we pot roast them. You know, could be a goose, could be a big duck like a mallard, pintail. You clean them real good, season them up. My dad would actually stuff them with like a fresh sausage concoction and onions and bell pepper.
Mm.
And stuff it in the cavity and then just kind of brown them, slowly brown them. And then once you brown them, take them out, put, you know, saute your onions and bell pepper mix, a little bit of celery maybe, and then just kind of caramelize your vegetables and then put the birds back in, add some broth, cover it, and slow cook that thing for about an hour or so on the grill, make you a pot of rice, and ay-ya-ya's.
Yeah, that sounds good. When you make that appetizer, T-Gid, are you taking like a half a jalapeno and making a boat out of it, that you're cutting it lengthways so that it'll hold the cream cheese and the piece of duck, or tell me how that, what that looks like.
Depends on how hot them peppers are, you
okay.
know, what season we're in. But, you know, typically you don't have to make the half boat, you know, with the pepper, the cream cheese, if you're going to get some of that, that's going to ooze out, but
right.
Enough remains. But, normally it's just like a julienne, like three or four nice slices of the jalapeno, and then you just kind of tuck it inside the breast with that cream cheese and just fold the breast back over, kind of wrap it around it, and then just wrap it real good with that bacon and put one little toothpick in it.
I bet you have some more duck recipes too, don't you?
I got, well, you, like I said, you don't have enough time.
Can we put you on hold and carry you over to the next segment? Is that okay,
yeah,
Jop?
Since
I've already
absolutely.
Said it on the air.
Absolutely.
Well, great.
Brian's got editing power, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Flies, baby.
All right. Hold the line. We're going to hit a commercial break, and we'll be right back at you. This is T-Gid on the Grilling Guys Show. We'll be back.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FenValley.com.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys?
Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we're ducking in and out of this segment because we did not get enough of that Cajun recipe. We got all off on the Robertsons, and I'm telling you what, that's just amazing that we have a connection to somebody that got to sit in a duck blind with the Robinsons. And you know what? These guys are brothers, right? From this Percy Guidry Company, and right now on the live line, we've got the other half of that dynamic.
That's
duo.
Right. We've got Greg Guidry. Who takes care of the manufacturing of the Cajun grills. And it's been a year since I saw you, brother.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, we ate good. We ate good then. We'll probably eat good again next time you come down.
Yeah, well, I loved looking at your pictures of hunting with the Robertsons, and I thought that would tie in nicely for our duck show. So it was kind of a last-minute thought a couple days ago when I talked to your brother, but I'm glad you're around. So you guys at the factory right now?
We are here, yeah. We're at the factory right now. Okay. Trying to get some orders together, get them out to some of the new distributors. We have a new distributor down in Houston, going to handle a 4-state area for our new Cajun Grill premium line of charcoal grill and smokers. And everybody can see them at CajunGrill.com. They're new products and excited about getting them out.
So, you know, a lot of our listeners are like, it's a charcoal grill. What can be new and exciting about that? Why don't you explain a little bit about some of the stuff you're doing?
Well, the thing is that if you buy a regular charcoal grill at your normal mass merchant, what I call a landfill grill, you're going to end up having a product that you're going to have to replace. Well, this product is all stainless steel, 304 stainless. It's made in the United States. It's not made in China or anywhere else, God knows wherever else they build these things, but it's all 304 stainless, so it's a lifetime grill. It's going to be a grill that's going to perform flawlessly for the rest of your life, and you better write it up in your will and make sure that your kids don't fight for it once you're gone.
Yeah, well, there's no tariffs on these, baby.
And it's got to be long-lasting because I have your medium size of your traditional Cajun, and that thing's got to be 5 years old, and it is spotless, and I use it a bunch. I keep a cover on it, but, I mean, that thing is built. It's just a fantastic. Jop will tell you. I probably talk about that grill on this show more than any other grill I own.
Well, you use it a
lot.
And that's
a steel grill. I mean, we've been building these grills since 1963. Of course, we've upgraded. We've made new designs, so we know it's a performance. It's a grill that performs really well, better than anything on the market, because we've been building it so long and tinkering with it for so long. So. I mean, going back to how long a grill lasts, like your grill is a steel grill. Those grills typically last 25, 30 years, whereas old Cy, as he would say, the grill that he would buy normally, that's why he wanted himself a grill, old Cy. So we left him a Cajun grill behind and let him have a grill for the rest of his life. He didn't want to have to replace anything more because every time he'd go buy a grill at those doggone mass merchants, it lasts maybe 3 or 4 months because apparently he cooks a lot.
Yeah, sounds like it. So let's talk a little bit about cooking. Now, you're a man that's making cooking pieces for us to all use. And when you step up to the grill and you got a duck in front of you, because we're talking about duck hunting, tell me what you would do with that, if you wanted to smoke it rather than grill it.
Well, the one thing that's it's odd you say that, because the one thing that we've experimented with and really been enjoying at the duck camp is we'll kill some ducks and we won't breast them out like Keith recently said. Basically, we'll leave them whole and we'll leave the skin on them, and now we'll stuff them up on the inside before we smoke them. And we'll stuff them up with either vegetables or a combination of some chopped up vegetables and some sausage. If we have some fresh pork sausage, you know, if you have your favorite Italian sausage, you can throw something like that on the inside. It'll steam on the inside. But beyond that, no different than any meat on a barbecue pit. If you smoke it at a low temperature and bring that meat up to a doneness temperature over a long period of time in an indirect smoking situation, it's going to be the most tender meat you're ever going to eat. So if you smoke duck, and depending on the size of the duck, it's going to vary. But you smoke it and you just take a measurement. I would cook it like beef. You know, get it to like about between 130 and 140, and check it. But at that point, it should just fall right off of the bone. One other thing that I'd like to mention, no matter if you're going to throw a duck in a gumbo or you're going to smoke it or leave it whole and cook it in a pot, pot roast it. The one thing that I've learned, my dad taught me a long time ago, he was a master at the duck camp. He'd make anything taste good, I guarantee you. And this guy, he would pull bottle ducks. He would stick the ducks, whatever ducks he wanted to cook. He'd stick the ducks with all the carcasses, you know, all intact, as a whole intact. He'll boil them for about 30 minutes in just regular water. Sometimes add some seasoning to it, but he'd boil it in just regular water. And after 30 minutes, you'll see like a scum level on the top of the pot of water. And what you do is at that point, you just throw the whole thing and the scum directly down the drain. And all the ducks you throw into the sink, and as the water's draining out, you rinse it out and wash it out really, really good on the inside, and then season it up, marinate it, and stick it in a pot or smoke it, whatever. That takes the game out of it, you know. Ducks, a lot of women, a lot of people that are kind of sensitive about cooking, you know, wild game. They don't like that tainted meat because it tastes wild or whatever they call it, but. They worried about that, then basically this is the way to take care of that game.
And that's probably stored in the fat, so you're really reducing a lot of the fat by doing that.
Exactly, absolutely. That's exactly right.
That's cool.
And on the inside of a duck, you got the lungs. I mean, you can't get to all the lungs and all that stuff out with your fingers. So by balling it out, you're getting all that gradu. We call that pieces, parts out of the inside of that duck.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Greg, it's great to talk to you, and we want to remind everybody that the Cajun Grill is for sale right now, and where's a good place to look at it?
Right now, I get it online. Just get on CajunGrill.com and get online and check out the new unit. It's called the Cajun Pro. Now, we kind of look different. We don't spell Pro, P-R-O. We spell it like Boudreaux and Thibodeau. We spell it P-R-E-A-U-X. So
yeah, that's so cool.
Cajun Pro Grill has a new design, dual cold tray. Also is a built-in grill. You can either buy it and add on a cart, or you can just buy the head and throw it in a built-in situation in a non-combustible setting. And this thing is going to perform for life. And you can grill steaks, raise up the cold tray on one side to a high level and grill steaks on that side, and bring the other cold tray on the right side, say, bring it down to a low level, and do barbecuing. So it's a very versatile charcoal. It's more versatile than our original design, and we're excited about the new unit. But you can also buy the original design that you have. You bought the small unit, but we do have a larger unit as well.
Awesome.
But I'd like to, before we get off, my brother wrote some down on a piece of paper that we really enjoyed having to be around a really godly man like Phil Robinson, and everything he does, he likes to spread the word. And he says, he said, if it walks, crawls, flies, or swims, it's good from God. You can eat it.
There you go.
In stereo. All right, Greg and T. Gidd, thanks so much for joining the Grilling Guys.
Yeah, man. Enjoyed it. Thank you all for calling.
All right. Yep. See you. Bye.
Those are some Cajun men, and it's time for a little man law.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man. Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man. A man, man, man. You are now a man. You're a man! Now you're a man!
Today's man law is really heartfelt. And let's see if Jop agrees with this one. If you do not sweat, it's not a sport. People sweat during beer pong.
Yeah. Well, generally, that's the case, man. I mean, you know, you're in it to win it if you're even remotely competitive. Right. And I think we're both very competitive when it comes to different things. So, yeah, you're after it. And if you're getting after it, you're sweating. You know, so
grilling is a sport.
Absolutely. I sweat all the time when I'm grilling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, always good to talk to the Guidry boys. Seriously, I love my Cajun grill, and there will be stores in your area in the near future that carry the new Pro. Highly recommend that thing. It's going to be the ultimate charcoal machine.
Coming up, we're going to bring this train to the station. We're going to talk a couple little more duck treats. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, hope you're starting off your weekend in the right way. We've had a little bit of fun talking about duck hunting and duck blind and a couple of recipes there from our buddies from the Percy Guidry Company. But wanted to chat with you a little bit about the part of the duck hunting that maybe we haven't covered yet, and that is the time that you spend in the blind. This is one of the reasons as I get older, slower, and fatter, that I like duck hunting more and more, because you might have heard us in the second segment talk to Christian, is that it's fast action, and you call ducks, so you're communicating with them, but you're sitting in the blind and you got a chance to hang out with your buddies. Unlike deer hunting, that's a solitary sport. You're usually not with the guys until before you go out or after you come back. But in the duck blind, you know, you heard the Guidry boys sitting there talking with the Robertsons.
How cool is that?
Yeah, and that's what I really like about this. And then the one thing we haven't talked about is the hound. You need a duck dog, and I had one coming that I was working on, and heaven forbid, she got hit in the road over about 2 months ago now, and I missed the hell out of her because she was coming along. I had the hand signals going. She loved the water and all of that. But that's a big part of it, too, is you get to be out there with your best friends. But you better have man's best friend with you as well, because you don't want to go traipsing out through your decoys and chasing down a duck. And especially if you wing one and you don't knock it down all the way, then the dog will go catch it and bring it back to you. And it's just part of the whole experience is watching the dog work. And so that is,
I don't care if you're pheasant or whatever kind of bird you're hunting.
Right.
That is if you have a good dog, and your other one, what was your old dog's name?
Gibby. Yep. He was an upland dog. He was grouse and pheasant, but this other one that I just lost got hit in the road. She was going to be a duck dog, and I was really looking forward to it. Spent a ton of time with her. But
so
anyway,
what breeds would you say are best for duck?
Oh, you know, traditionally it's a lab, and you've got any retriever that's out there. The Chesapeake Bay Retrievers are real popular. Mm-hmm. You need a, you know, the water's cold. You need a heavy-coated dog, strong swimmers, that kind of stuff. And those are the ones, because they're out in the cold water.
So the Golden Retriever would be good for that. Like Christian has a Golden Retriever.
You know, I think.
But he's gun-shy. How do you get a dog, or how do you, is that something you can train a dog out of?
Not generally. Okay. No. Something has caused them to be that way. I'm no dog trainer, okay? Mm-hmm. But what I've been told is if they've got it, it's really, really tough to have them get rid of it, the gun shyness. Mm-hmm. So start over, get a different
Zeus,
dog.
Zeus is the same way.
Right.
He wants to come in the house if fireworks are going off or anything. He's a 100-pound bear dog.
Right.
But he does not like the sound of a gun.
Right. So, but anyway, a great time to sit out there. You know, the dog's in the water. He's back out of the water. He's sitting there dry. And a lot of times, you know, you heard Kristen talk about don't look at the white of your eyes. Well, dogs don't have whites in their eyes, right? Watch the dog's eyes, because a good duck dog will sit beside you and they will be watching the sky, and you will see where the ducks are coming in from before you can see the ducks, because the dog will see them.
That's very cool.
It's crazy.
That's
it's crazy cool. Good. But anyway, one last duck recipe is this is simple. You do not have to cook duck to the same temperature that you cook chicken. Okay, if you've got a duck breast, 125, 130 on the grill, put a little balsamic on it, a fruitier balsamic.
Yeah.
It's going to taste really good. Simple salt, pepper, and a little of that balsamic. And don't take it past 120, 125 degrees.
So if you're going to cook some duck, you might want to go to Old World Olive Company and
buy some flavored balsamics.
Let them help you out.
Yep, and a little oil won't help. Won't hurt either, because that's super, super lean. But don't be confused. You got to get it to 165 because you'll hate it.
Hey, best of luck to anybody heading into the woods for opener bow. Stay safe. If you're in a tree, strap in, baby.
Yep. You've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We'll stick with you next week.